Hi, I'm Ken Kessler, and welcome to the Sounds of Christmas podcast. If you're new, thanks for joining us. And if you are not so new, thanks for coming back. Either way, we're glad you're here. To avoid any confusion, I want to remind you there won't be music played here. This is just a place for conversation. I'm going to talk about Christmas music and some related topics, sometimes by myself and sometimes with guests. If you're looking for music, just go to soundsofchristmas.com and click on the tree or the player on the front page or on the Listen Now page. We play the best variety of Christmas music all year long. Well, except in October, when we play the best variety of Halloween music. I'm very happy to welcome singer, songwriter, pianist, arranger, producer, Rosalie Drysdale to the podcast. Hi, Rosalie.
Hi, Ken. It's really nice to meet you.
It's great to meet you, too. And did I get all of that right? Singer, songwriter, pianist, arranger, producer. Are there other titles that you would want to add?
Well, I don't know if it's important to say, but I'm a wife, a mother, a grandmother.
All that stuff is important, too. I think it is. Absolutely. And all of those things take time and effort. And just like singer, songwriter, pianist, arranger, producer, all of that stuff is important. And we all have lots of different facets. You've been really busy since your Christmas album came out last year. Three albums already in 2021, a slew of singles on the way that we're going to talk about. And that's not really new for you. Your Christmas album was the third album from that you released in 2020, and you had three albums the year before that. Wow. Yeah. You know, people who certainly aren't in the business are going to go, where does all of that come from?
Yeah. There was a few circumstances, of course, in the world that kind of kept us holed up. So
right.
We could focus. And that's what we did. We lived it, breathed it, ate it. I started to write, and then we recorded, and then we did a lot of it remotely, because of course during some of the time you couldn't even meet with musicians, but we had a really good rapport, a good group of guys that we worked with, and a fellow arranger, James Creasy. We just sent the stuff out, gave it back. I edited it, and we sent it back, and we just kind of kept on going. It was almost like we were a creative machine over here. And, you know, it wasn't really planned that way, but it just started to happen because we were just into it. We were into it. Why stop? So that's basically the short answer.
Do you think of yourself as being a performer in any particular genre? Because it seems like you fit in many.
Well, that's a really good question. You know, and that's always been a problem for me. Like way back when it was like, the question was always, well, what genre are you? What kind of music do you sing? What kind of music do you play? That was always a problem with me because I am so against this whole pigeonholing thing. And I felt very strongly about that way before. Like now I know people feel that way. There's people crossing over, doing all kinds of stuff more so now than ever before. But way back, I never felt comfortable with it because I was, you know, I train classically, so I play classically. And one of my albums is we did a classical album, piano classical. And then we also did an album a little while after that with fusion piano. We call it kicking it classical. So I take a classical, popular classical tune, and I add a groove to it. And I work with my guys on it. And I am extremely proud of that. Like it's a fusion classical thing. I am absolutely crazy about it because it kind of defines what my thoughts are. You can put anything together and you do a good job of it. I hate the whole categorical that you're in this category, you're in that category, you're this, you're that. So you must comply. Oh, that's out of your sphere. No, it's not. Who are you to say it's out of anybody's sphere or what anybody's sphere should be? So to answer your question, as I'm getting really passionate about it, you know, classical, I grew up in the church. So I was very exposed to gospel. I love, soul music as a result of that. I don't do country and Western, but I certainly have an appreciation for it. And I'm not opposed to doing it, but I've done blues, romance, like lots of ballads, power ballads. So the pop into the pop thing, you know, whatever that feel is, whatever the vibe is of that song, if you've got the lyrics and the vibe happening, that's, you know, so I it's very broad based. It really is.
Yeah. As somebody I love music, and people will sometimes ask me, well, what kind of music do you like? And I'm like, really? How can you, I can't answer that in a sentence or two. because I like everything. And when I listen to your music, I hear all the stuff that you're talking about. You rock. There's classical. There's gospel inspirational. It's a great mix. And I think anybody who likes music is going to enjoy what you do. And it's really crazy to try and have to slap a label on it. One of the things I love about Christmas music is I don't have to do that. I mean, there are some people who want to know, is it country Christmas? Is it this Christmas? Is it the, you know, whatever. It's Christmas music. I play stuff that came out in the 40s, big band stuff, Lead Belly, all of the old things, all the way up through whatever's coming out this year. And it's, you know, I look for something that I like, something that either moves me or touches me or makes me feel good about the season. And that's what I want from Christmas music. And really, that's what I want from any kind of music, something that I like. And it's hard to, you can't really slap a label on that.
Don't you think, Ken, that this is a scenario? Because really, over the years, people have been taught that they have to think in these kind of boxes. They've been taught to, or conditioned to, what kind of music? Oh, you're that kind of a listener. You're that kind. It's as ridiculous as saying, oh, I like to breathe. Well, what kind of air do you want to breathe? Or I like to swim. Well, what kind of swimming do you like to do? Like, I mean, in any category, I like emotions. Oh, well, or I have emotions. Well, what kind of emotions do you actually, you know, what are your circles of emotion? Well, every emotion. I feel anger. I feel joy. I feel peace. I feel happiness. I feel aggression. I feel romantic. I feel melancholy. That's all encapsulated in all kinds of different music. So we should just like freaking blow open those doors and live a little.
I think absolutely. And I think traditional radio is to blame for a lot of that, because
100%. Yeah.
The thinking is that it has to fit, that people are only going to listen to adult contemporary or hot adult contemporary or classic rock or whatever. And you can't play something that doesn't fit those specific guidelines. I worked at a hot adult contemporary station when the movie Wayne's World came out, and suddenly Bohemian Rhapsody by Queen was a big thing again. And we played it once. And then what happens is the program director took the song and he had meetings and he had test groups who were listening to it, and they were listening to it alongside Mariah Carey and Michael Bolton and Phil Collins and music that was our core artists at the time. And they decided that didn't fit. So we couldn't play it anymore, even wow. though it was in the number one movie that summer and it was a hot song and it was going up the charts again. It didn't fit, so we couldn't play it. It's just crazy. It's not like people who like those other artists aren't going to like that song. It's nuts.
Yeah.
But that gets, yeah, that's the thinking about it. And people they hear one song from you and they decide, okay, she's an inspirational gospel singer. That's what she is. Mm-hmm. And come on. I know there are some people who like just vanilla or chocolate ice cream, but when I go in and I see 31 different flavors, it takes me a while to figure out what I want today.
Oh, I want to have a sample of every one of them.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, break out those little tiny spoons.
Exactly. Good album cover title, actually. Look, break out the little tiny spoons.
Break especially out the little if you've got tiny spoons.
Tiny Spoon album.
So let's talk about Let Your Heart Be Light. Your Christmas album came out last year. Had you recorded Christmas music before this?
I did one song for an eclectic. It was way back in the after the 1999 Pan Am opening ceremonies. I did the theme tune, Go for Gold. This is in Winnipeg. And for the opening ceremonies, that was. And then around that time, there was a bunch of musicians that got together and kind of piggyback on the fact that Winnipeg was in the spotlight for that time. So somebody put together a Christmas album and kind of did a conglomeration of, a compilation, I should say, of, Christmas songs. So I did Oh Holy Night on that album. So, but that was the first, Christmas song that I ever recorded. I always meant to do a Christmas song, a Christmas album, never did until last year. So this is it in its entirety.
So was the timing just right last year, or was there something else that drove that?
I think it was the timing was right. And I'd always wanted to do a Christmas album. And my husband, Ken, thought it was a great idea. So, and like you said, the timing was right. So we were in the summer. You got to put it together and have it pretty much ready to go by September, October. So the timing was right. And again, because we were home and in our studio is in our home. So we went for it.
Were there any particular artists or songs that were sort of inspirational to get you into the spirit and into doing this?
I do have favorite Christmas songs, but okay, I'm just looking at the list of songs here. What I tried to do is take some traditional songs, some not traditional songs, and all of them are covers. I didn't do any original on this album. There's 11 tunes on it. And I did a cross-section of traditional sort of Christian ones, and also then, you know, secular songs, Winter Wonderland, the Christmas song, that kind of thing. So I took a song, for example, Tiny Little Baby, which I'd never heard of. Somebody from, I think, Australia had sent us this song and said, we'd love to hear your rendition of it. So the rendition we found of Tiny Little Baby was a male choir, and then another was a children's choir. So I just took that song and I turned it into something bluesy. So it's got a kind of a funk bluesy. And I love how that one turned out. We did the same thing with Go Tell It on the Mountain. So what I want to say is I've taken a lot of these songs and put a different arrangement and a different feel to it. So like We Three Kings, for example, you know, that one goes, We Three Kings of Orion. So it's in a minor tune. Well, I took it to that... what's it called again? You know what? I'm just going to turn this. You might just want to, when you do the editing, but I'm just going to play for you. Just did a sample. I like to be creative. I like to just change things, put it into a different mode. And this is what I did with that one. Almost there. My Nord is here. So okay. Can you hear it?
Mm-hmm.
I think this is the key I played it in. Anyway, so this is how I did it. It's a recognizable song, but I changed it into that because why not do something different with it?
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah. I'm trying to remember. I think it's Dr. John, who did a very New Orleans style version of Silent Night, which is so different. I love beautiful. Silent Night. I think it's one of the most beautiful songs.
I agree.
But this is just something that's different and it's fun. And it just, I don't know, it just feels right.
Yeah. And even you mentioned Silent Night. I did Silent Night as well. Mine is, I love the New Orleans idea on that. I'm going to have to look that up. But I am from a German background. My parents were immigrants after the Second World War, met and married in Canada. So my mother tongue was German. I didn't speak a word of English until I went to kindergarten in Windsor, Ontario. So I speak fluent German. And my formative years was all like, you know, all these Christmas songs from the hymnal were in German. So I did Silent Night, did the first verse, and then I do the second verse in German. Stille Nacht, Heilige Nacht. I mean, everybody knows that phrase, right? So there's a little bit of everything again on this album as well that way.
I would imagine that a Christmas show with you would be terrific. You probably didn't get a chance to do that last year.
No. I would love to do that. There's also videos. So we've done some videos with these, including there's a really cute one with We Three Kings, but there's other ones too, Silent Night and Christmas Song. There's several of them on YouTube.
Well, we hadn't gotten around to talking about where everybody can find you. There's your website, rosaliedrysdale.com, and you're on social media, and you mentioned YouTube, and I was going to mention about the videos, but you beat me to it. How many of the Christmas songs do you remember off the top of your head are that you have videos on?
1, 2, 3, 4, I think 5.
So almost half the album.
Yeah.
It would have to be 5.5 to be half the album.
And you know what, Ken? We'll probably do more for this Christmas. We'll do some more.
That's another thing that I really love about you is that you're so prolific as far as recording and releasing music, but you still, I'm constantly seeing videos come out. I follow you on Facebook and I see that you post that there's a new video in the works or here it is. It's finally out. And these are great. If you haven't seen them yet, go follow Rosalie Drysdale, not just for the Christmas videos, but you'll get to see so many of her other songs too. And I think they're terrific. When you were releasing something from Kickin' It Classical, I think it was to tease that album coming out, and it just absolutely blew me away. It was terrific.
Thank you. Very good. Thank you.
You're very welcome. I like to keep track, because, especially because you put out so much stuff that I'll get to know at least a little bit in advance. I get you. And by the way, if you go to Rosalie's website, you can sign up for her newsletter, because that's another way that I keep track of what's going on, because I know you have a whole bunch of singles that you've set up to come out this fall leading up through Christmas. I think there were, how many did you say that were?
I think 7. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Yes.
Okay. And it started at the beginning of October, right?
Yeah.
And then coming out, spaced out, wow, all the way to New Year's probably.
That's great. Well, I think it's so far we got the last release one, I think is December the 17th. Yeah, that's the last one, I think. But between now and December the 17th, one comes out every 3 or 4 weeks.
Is there any particular reason you decided to do a whole bunch of singles rather than an EP or one more album?
Yes. And it kind of harkens back to the original part of our conversation with the various stylings, the different genres. So as you said, we came out with lots of albums and tried to keep every album, you know, sort of unique to its genre. So we did like a blues album. We called it Blues and More because there were a couple of ballads in there as well. They weren't necessarily bluesy, but they fit into that album. Then there was, you know, like the Kickin' It Classical. But what's happening now is I create this one and then I create that song. And then and all of a sudden I get this song that's on my heart. So then I do that. And not all these songs necessarily would have fit together stylistically or genre wise in one album. So then we thought about it. We thought, you know, lots people aren't necessarily buying whole albums and like they would in the olden days. Not that they don't still, but people will find a song and they'll just buy the song that they like. So that's why we've decided to just do it. Like, for example, from my inspirational side, a couple months ago, I had this song in my mind. It just came to my mind and my memory and my being. It was just sort of sitting in me. It was written by somebody else almost 40 years ago, but I was familiar with the song. And just because of the nature of what's going on in this world, and it was, you know, bothering me, I was praying about things. And it's a song called Touch Your People Once Again by a guy named Pelle Carlson. It was just in my mind, in my heart. So I thought, man, I got to freaking sing the song at least. I got to sing it. And then I sang it at the piano. And it was just so, and I said, honey, we have to record this song. I have to get it out. So that one we did, that's Touch Your People Once Again. So that would only fit on a, you know, an inspirational album, but not all these songs are that. So then all of a sudden there's another song, Natalie. Okay. That's a song that I wrote with my fellow arranger, my mixer, guitar player. He's just like an extraordinary, does everything. He actually laid the foundation for that song. I wrote the lyrics and the melody. And it's basically the life story of somebody named Natalie. And so it's not necessarily goes on to a gospelish inspiration album. It's kind of about, it's got a groove to it. So it's R&B. So, you know, then there's another one that kind of came to me called Gotta Try, which I love. That also is not something that goes on a necessarily gospel album. And it's kind of got it's upbeat, and it also kind of talks about, you know, everybody's talking and, you know, nobody's really listening, but I'm going to keep on trying. I mean, you'll hear it, and maybe you've already heard it. I love the tune. So they're all kind of different. So they wouldn't have worked in one album. So we're just releasing them singly.
Any Christmas songs in there as we get into December?
We don't have any single releases yet. We just have the whole album. Oh, that's right. My manager is telling me that we will be doing single release videos, like music videos.
Cool.
On the songs that are, you know, on this album.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So looking into 2022 and beyond, what's on your agenda? What's on your schedule?
Oh, you know, we would love to do live shows, you know, that we're planning towards that. Don't know how that's going to look exactly. And Patreon, we're launching a Patreon channel sometime this fall. And we're working on getting that together. We don't want to do that willy-nilly. We want to be all ready to go with lots of material and have lots of resources on there. So that's what we're doing. But I really do look forward to actually connecting with an audience. I think that that's really a powerful thing, and you know, just, you know, actual contact with people.
Yeah, I think that is important. And one of the reasons that I wanted to do this podcast when I've got the station going is to be able to get some sort of contact between the creators like yourself and people who love the music, and get a chance to hear some of the stories behind it and what goes into it. Because for people who aren't into that side of music, it's all, you know, they don't always remember that, like as you were talking about the Christmas album, that you have to do that in the summer or earlier to get it ready. It's not something that you can go, oh, Christmas is coming, let's do a Christmas album. That doesn't work unless you decide you're going to release that next Christmas. There's a lot that goes into it. And there's a lot that goes into any kind of music that you're going to release. I mean, technology has made it easier now that you can have an idea for something and you can do all of the work on putting it together and doing the writing and doing the recording and mixing with yourself and your team and get it done and get it out there. It is much easier than it used to be, but there's still a lot to the process.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Any new Christmas music on the horizon for you that you can talk about?
You know what I'd like to do, Ken? I think I'm going to start trying to do some original stuff that I don't know if it might be out for this Christmas. But most likely that would be something, to your point that you just made, that would probably be something for the following Christmas. We're still marketing this album for this Christmas. It's new and fresh enough that we can still kind of keep at this album and for now.
And also you have, I think you said, 7 singles that are
right.
In various states of coming out. Some are already out, more are on the way. So there's plenty that it's not like you're just sitting back and relaxing.
And I'm always writing, you know, and I can't really tell you from this week to next week what might come into my mind. You know, I have to, you know, you get some inspiration, you get a thought, you just go. And then one thing I have found is if I have a thought, if I have a hook in my head, I got to get to the piano. I got to write that down. I got to at least record that hook. Sometimes I sit there and I just write the whole song right away. It all depends on what the song is. Sometimes I work on it over a period of days, but when I do feel that hook come to me or that inspiration come to me, I have to sit down and do it right away, because it'll be gone otherwise. It'll just be gone into the abyss. So I record it just really fundamentally, and then I work on it.
I remember seeing a bit of an interview with Michael Jackson, probably 1982, 1983, where he said that, where somebody had asked him about his process. And he said, there are some times where I wake up in the middle of the night and I have a piece of a song in my head, and I know I have to at least write it down before God gives that song to Prince.
You know what I heard? Ken and I watched a documentary about a couple of documentaries, one on jazz, like it was several sections, several episodes, and then one on country music. And I was very intrigued with, what was his name again? The guy that died when he was 29 or 30 in the backseat of the car.
Hank Williams.
I mean, that guy, they called him the Hillbilly Shakespeare, because songs would come to him like boom, 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 boom. I love that. I think he was 29 or 30 when he passed away. So, you know, I mean, the songs, I mean, Ken, when you think about it, the songs in that guy that died with him, I mean, there was still a whole lifetime. It breaks my heart, but at least we got what we did out of him. And, you know, so I want to just keep on going as much as God gives me songs, as much as my brain is functioning and my ability. I want to put out there, you know, it's communication. It's communication, you know. And I was going to say earlier with just the idea of live shows and can. It doesn't matter how technological the society is, social media, all the stuff. We are creatures of communication, of community, of interaction, of relating to one another, of communicating and finding, you know, similarities. This is what music does. It brings us together that way. And when we actually experience somebody else, when we can see their mouths and see what's coming out of them, when we can see them smile, we can smile back at them. This give and take of the human being, it's a very powerful thing. It's so powerful. And I enjoy that. And this is another reason why I think live and stories, that's the other thing I was going to say to you. People love stories. Honestly, I feel like they can even stomach if the music isn't that great, but if the story grabs me, and maybe it's a great thing when the story is in the music and that grabs you, but when the performer, when the person can relate and talk to the people and they can connect with the story and it resonates with them, people love that kind of thing.
You look at A Christmas Carol that's 150 years old, maybe more, and we get new versions of it almost every year. Almost every TV show that has ever been successful and done more than one season has done an episode that spoofs that. There have been so many songs. There was a metal band, I think, out of England that did a whole album that was about A Christmas Carol. And it's just one of those things that's forever. That's a story that people connect with and they go see it again and again. They read the book again and again. They listen to the music again and again. And of course, the overall story of Christmas is something that we experience year after year after year.
Yep. And I love that there is no end. And I believe this with all my heart. There's no end to the creativity in human beings. And that is something to be celebrated, enjoyed, encouraged, not to be competed with. There's enough to go around for mm-hmm. all of us. And that's just so beautiful. And even to create upon somebody else's creation. I mean, there's just no end to it. Like you're saying, you can take one song and make a whole, you know, big, long situation out of it. I mean, you can take two words and you can, or a phrase and see it in a whole bunch of different ways. I mean, it's just beautiful.
And 10 people can listen to it and come away with 10 different experiences.
Right. Because their own life experience is different. So their life experience, you know, connects with a certain, you know, part of it or a certain vibe of it, whereas somebody else connects with something else just because our experiences are so different.
I know that for me, Silent Night is a very emotional song. Right. Yeah. And it always affects me that way. And mm-hmm. I know that I have come close to crying in a Hallmark shop with a little plastic ornament that played Silent Night, but it was just, you know, the song just has that magic for me.
Why do you think that song has that for you?
I don't know. It's just so beautiful, and it really brings Christmas into focus for me. And it can be any time of year that I hear that. I'm at a Christmas Eve service, and there's just something that is just wonderful and magical about that. And I just know that everything is going to be okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. That's really something. And it gets you every time.
Every time. Well, the Dr. John version that I mentioned a little while ago is a very bluesy New Orleans jazz style. And that's different. It's almost like it's a completely different song.
Yeah.
Right. And there are occasions like that. There was a band called the New Royalty about 10 years ago put out an album, and they had a very rocking version of that song, and that's different, but Silent Night and Oh Holy Night, both of those.
Yeah. That's absolutely what I want. Actually, you know what? Not glad you brought that up, because I didn't put Oh Holy Night onto this album. I almost did. And I'm not sure why I didn't, but I think I might do a new recording of that one. And that might be one that I might release before Christmas with a, I'm glad you mentioned that. Cause that is, honestly, I think that is my personal all time favorite Christmas carol or hymn.
Yeah. You know, it's funny running this radio station. Those are two of my favorite and two that I think are the most beautiful. And yet I'm very selective about when I play them. because a lot of people listen to the Sounds of Christmas at work. And when it gets to be a lot of slow songs, a lot of contemplative songs, it's hard for people to be at work and do that. So I usually save those until probably the week of Christmas. And then I just feel like, you know what, Christmas is this week, I'm playing them.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah, so tighten your seatbelt because I'm going for it. I'm giving it to you now.
That's right. Absolutely.
That's actually sensitive and insightful and intuitive of you.
Well, thank you. I hear from people often who listen, and you know, the Sounds of Christmas is on all year long. And I don't keep it on because I think that everybody wants to listen all year long. But sometimes in May, maybe you need a little Christmas music fix. You need a little of that spirit. So people hop on. There are a handful of people in Germany who listen all the time. They always have it on. I always see them listening. Yeah. And someone had told me that there was a Christmas shop, and I forget the name of the town in Germany, that is open all year long. And sometimes they play this in there. And I thought, that's really kind of neat. And for me, I was in radio for so long. And when I started, I was overnights, and I was the guy who worked most of the day on Christmas Day. And I liked that because I got to feel like I was spending Christmas with everybody.
Right. Cool.
And I'm sure when you release a Christmas album and people are listening to your music at that time of year, I think that you probably get a little of that too.
Yeah.
You're spending.
It feels like an honor, really. It really does.
It is.
You don't know what kind of family environment, you don't know what kind of peace you might be bringing. You don't know what kind of, you know, added celebration. It's, you're right. There is really something to it. And I just love that you play it all year around, because wow, that kind of just sort of redirects people's focus in a way, because we get, you know, Christmas is Christmas, we're into Christmas, and then on to the next. But if you bring in Christmas, it's kind of like it makes people go, it's a refocusing. I think it's a great idea.
Well, thank you. I was very moved at an early age by Dickens' Christmas Carol. And it's something that has always stuck with me. And near the end of that, and I'm not spoiling it because everybody has read it or seen the movie or one of the many movies. But at the end, he says, I will honor Christmas in my heart and try to keep it all the year. And everybody knows that. But still, you get into January and they're like, why are you listening to Christmas music? You know what?
Yeah.
How is this bothering you? It brings me peace. So,
you know what? That, Ken, isn't that just the same thing we were talking about before? People are so trained to think in cubicles, in files, in sections, if it's a genre, or this is not Christmas, this is not what we do here, this is not, and it doesn't matter. That's not a religious attitude. That's a human being thing. This is like from all walks of life, from in all areas of professional, whatever, the arenas, it's like, oh, no, we don't do that. This is what we do. It's just like a I don't know. It's just this. It completely encompasses everything.
It definitely does. And I think that it's not anything new. This is a pet peeve of mine. People like to say, if it's not Thanksgiving yet, I don't want to know about Christmas. And then they'll say that you're making it, you're cramming it down our throats, and you're every year it's earlier and earlier. And that's not true. And I did a blog and I did a podcast about this, how that Elvis's Christmas album came out in the middle of October and nobody cared. It was 1957, I think. And nobody said, how dare you do this with Christmas? And that's probably because Frank Sinatra had a Christmas album that came out in September of that year. And that was, what is that, 60, 70 years ago. And nobody complained about that. So this idea that we're rushing the season or any of that stuff is crazy. If it brings you joy,
amen.
Listen to Christmas music anytime.
Amen. Amen. And you are facilitating that for everybody, for the world.
Well,
God bless.
For anybody who is ready for it and wants it. And that's what I always say. If you're not ready for it, that's fine. I'm not making you listen to it.
Yeah.
When you are ready for it, I'm here, and the Sounds of Christmas is ready for you.
And I love the name, Sounds of Christmas.
Thank you.
I love it. So I'm supposed to tell you something here that you can find us on. People ask us where to find our music. We are on three different mediums. So,
wow.
Yeah. Can you believe it? Things I've never even. Okay. Here we go. I'm going to read this. First of all, RosalieDrysdale.com. My website is the centerpiece of everything I do in music. Here you can catch up on the latest news about my music releases, listen to my music, watch all of my videos, and of course, you can either order CDs or instantly download any of my music. But if you want to listen to me on any of the worldwide streaming services, I am on just about every one of the streaming and download service worldwide, including my website, RosalieDrysdale.com, Facebook, Rumble, MeWe, Apple Music, Django, Instagram, Twitter. I'm not going to read all 43, don't worry. iTunes, Spotify, Amazon Music, Pandora, YouTube, Gab, TikTok, Rezo, on and on and on it goes, all the way down to number 43, Israel Box in the Netherlands, Russia, everywhere.
Wow, that's amazing. And it's terrific that wherever anybody wants to listen, whatever service you use, whatever one you like best, whatever one works for you, you can find Rosalie there. That's terrific.
Okay. We have offered Elon Musk. Okay, so here's the offer to Elon Musk. We offer to you to be the first streaming service on Mars.
We did a video.
And we did a video. So if Elon, if you're listening to this, check out our Fury Lease video from Kicking It Classical. It's all about space and encompassing the whole business. It's a great video. I'm very proud of it. And that's one of those songs, Fury Lease, which is a Beethoven classic. Mm-hmm. And we turned it into like a funky, groovy, like kick-ass, beautiful tune.
Yeah, that's the one that I was talking about earlier when I saw that video. That just absolutely blew me away. That was amazing. Well, I was going to ask you where everybody can find you, but you ran down a pretty good list. So that's terrific. Anything else that I forgot to ask or that I missed that you wanted to mention?
Oh, okay. Well, I think we covered it. You know, and I'll tell you this. The best thing to do is go to the site, RosalieDrysdale.com, because everything is on there. You can contact us. Everything we do is on there. The videos are all on there. And you can join the fan club. You got it. So it's all there. But what I do want to do, in closing, I want to again say to you, I think what you're doing is fantastic. I see and feel like a lot of heart and soul in what you're doing. You do this, you can tell you have a passion for it and a love for it. And it's your gift to the world. And I think that's beautiful, Ken. I really think it's beautiful. And I hope that more and more people appreciate it and realize it and celebrate you for doing this, because you're giving a gift to people. It's wonderful. So I think a Christmas heart is a beautiful heart, and that's you. So I want to wish you an early Merry Christmas. And I want to wish all your listeners a Merry Christmas. And I hope that people will find peace and love as they project their hearts beyond what's going on in this world and beyond what their own personal passion opinions are about stuff. But just to remember the other people, the other person, think about yourself for sure, know your own circumstances, but think about the other person. And there's just a balance that kind of a person can strike with that.
Thank you so much for the kind words. That was beautiful. Thank you.
You deserve them. You're welcome.
And thank you so much for listening, helping me share some Christmas spirit, and for helping this podcast continue to grow. Since you're listening, you've obviously found us somewhere. But if there's another site you like to use for podcasts, check out our podcast page on our website for the complete list of everywhere you can listen to the Sounds of Christmas podcast. And the website is soundsofchristmas.com. Then just click on the podcast tab. For the Sounds of Christmas station, to listen to the music, you'll need to stick with our website or our app in the Google Play Store. If you have comments or suggestions, feel free to reach out to me on social media or through our website. Thanks again, and may you always believe in Santa Claus.